Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46, and this is the lectionary reading for this Reign of Christ Sunday. It also ties into the Ezekiel passage that was read just a few moments ago, which had been written 500 years before this passage from Matthew, but the link is obvious. As I read these familiar and ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life. And this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also answered, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The words of one that is simply remembered as the teacher. Read. "For everything there is a season. For everything, there is a season." Do you know that line from Ecclesiastes? Good, good, good. What does it mean? What does it mean? For everything, there is a season. I was thinking about this past week because time and time again, up until Thursday, I kept hearing this, that Thursday marked the beginning of the holiday season. We use a lot of seasonal language when you stop to think about it, don't you? Think about this. We just finished baseball season, right? See the World Series? It's a good series. I'm sorry you missed it. Football season's in full swing. Basketball season. Oh, let me just point this out. There's a game tonight at 10:30. No, we're not going to go there. Anyway, restrain yourself, Jay. For everything, there is a season. You know, it's hunting season, leaf watching season, allergy season. Over and over again. What's your favorite season? What is it? For everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. It's about order. It's about order, folks. When you get right down to it, dividing our lives into seasons is about ordering those lives. It's about compartmentalizing our existence. But why? Does that bring some sort of comfort to us, security to us by we kind of compartmentalize? Probably. But I would suspect that if I asked you to tell me about your life, to narrate your life for me, that I bet just about everybody here would begin where? The beginning. That's right. You would say something like, "Oh, I was born in such and such time, at such and such place, and graduated from high school here, I got a job there, and I worked X number of years, and here I am today." You would narrate it from the beginning to the end. You would narrate it chronologically, right? Most people would do that. You wouldn't just jump around. You wouldn't start now and work backwards most of the time. No. You would start at the beginning and work to now. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard this expression? Where has the time gone? Where has the time gone? Well, it seems like just yesterday that little Kelly Brown was in kindergarten. I said this at the middle service. Kelly Brown was a little kid when I came to Pleasant Grove. She got married about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And Mike and Martha, I said, where did the time go? That's what we were all saying that night. Have you ever said something like that? Where has the time gone? If you haven't, you will. You will. Give it time. Give it time. Well, do you know why we say that? Why we say, where has the time gone? Do you want to hear my theory about this? It doesn't matter. I got the microphone. Here it is. The reason I think we say these types of things and experience these types of feeling is because although we reflect on our lives linearly, you know, chronologically, we live them cyclically. We live them seasonally. We record our history linearly, but we live them cyclically in small, discrete times frames. For whatever reason, though, when we step back periodically, whether it's circumstances cause this or by choice, we get a glimpse of the big picture, the linear view. And then it's at that time that we get the feeling that something has happened. Time has slipped away. But for the most part, we're okay because we're tightly circumscribed. Tightly circumscribed. Okay. In fact, most of us organize our lives around a group of cycles of some sort. We have the Gregorian cycle, which begins on January 1 and ends on December 31. And it runs for 365 days and one quarter. Right? Okay, perfect. So some of us organize our lives that way. Others of us are just, you know, seasonally in the sense of winter, spring. Okay, obviously you don't organize your life that way. Some of you farmers may, like, you know, the preparatory time where you prep the land, you plant, and then you harvest. Maybe that's how you organize things. Or maybe it is sports. That's how many of us do it. Oh, it's basketball season now, or football season, ski season, whatever it is. Maybe you organize your life around work. You know, you work X number of days and you have a day off. Then you do it again. And then maybe it's a little bit bigger than that. You work throughout the year, and then summer you take a break of some sort. You know, once you start looking for cycles in your life and seasons in your life, you'll find plenty of them. Just think for a moment. Well, we've already touched on it. I think we like to think this way because it makes sense out of our world. Patterns give us a sense of order, and they give us a sense of security. Seasons ground us. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter in heaven. You don't believe it? Have you ever had the experience in your life where disorder seizes the day? Where chaos just reigns? And it seems like in this non-seasonal chaos, someone always speaks a word of caution or a word of calm, really. And they say something like this: hold on, because this too shall pass. Huh. If we can just ride out the storm, the cyclical nature of our lives, the seasonal nature will reexert itself, and everything will be okay. Okay, we need to pause here for a moment to make note of this, that not all seasons, not all cycles in our lives are created equally. No, we have to be very, very careful about what we organize our lives around, because the dominant cycle in your life is the cycle that gives your life meaning. So think about what gives your life, how do you organize your life? And that will tell me a lot about that life. You know, remember this parable of Jesus, the one about the wise man? She has said, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And then he continues, but there was a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Around what do you organize your life? Huh. Okay, do you have leaves in your yard now? Yeah. Yeah. Something happened last week. Someone gave the word, and all the leaves fell, and they landed in our yard. Our neighbor's yard's not a leaf in it, but they all kind of fell into our yard from our neighbors. And anyway, I want to share something with you that happened many years ago, but it was a coworker of Alana's at the hospital. It was this time of year. It was sometime late November, and same thing had happened. All the leaves fell off the tree the week of Thanksgiving. So this person decided they needed to clean their yard. They needed to rake their leaves, right? So they go to get their leaf rake out of the garage or wherever. It's missing. So what are we going to do? What do you do? I'll go to the store and I will buy a leaf rake. I will go to Target and I will get a rake. So they go to Target, go to the rake department. What do they find? Nothing. No rakes. I'll get help. They push the little button. Light lights up. Someone comes running. I need a rake. The person's bewildered by the request. A rake? We don't have rakes. Well, why not? It's not the season for rakes. Rakes are a seasonal item. November. Leaves everywhere. It's not a seasonal item. I mean, it is a seasonal item. Wow. Some cycles leave you standing wondering what happened. What happened? Built the house on the sand versus built the house on the rock. I'm sorry, man, we don't have any rakes this time. Anyway, today is the final Sunday of the liturgical year. The final Sunday of the Christian year. It's Christ the King, Reign of Christ Sunday, whichever you prefer. What that means is that we have been working toward this day since last December, since the first Sunday of Advent last year. Since last year, we've been doing the work of the people, the liturgy, the liturgical year. It's an annual cycle when we, the church, we, the people of the church, carry out the work of the body of Christ. And you may say, what is that work? Here it is. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The work of the church, the work of the people of the church, our work is to live into the kingdom of God. That's what we do. So the good news of God's grace is not just preached in here, but is administered beyond these walls through our hands. The work ends today. The year ends today. A year that culminates with the reign of Christ when we've achieved all that. We've done that. We've had a whole year. We've built to this. And now the Christ reigns in our hearts and in our lives. The broken are bound up thanks to us. Right? But wait, you suggest. We haven't achieved that yet. We haven't achieved that. Sure, we do good things here, but it's not complete. There is so much more we could do before Christ reigns in our hearts. So what are we going to do, Jay? What are we going to do? We're going to start over next week. We get to start over again, and we get another chance. Another year to be transformed into the image of Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift to us. So today, what I'm inviting you for the next 12 months to order your lives around the liturgical year. Let some of these other cycles that organize your life go. Let this dominate. And let me just read these, remind you of the liturgical year. Advent. And let me just read a description. Anticipation, hope, incarnation. And then we move to Christmas, birth, arrival, new beginning. Epiphany, manifestation, realization, awareness of God's presence. Season of Epiphany, the life and ministry of Jesus. We learn. Ash Wednesday, we turn inward. We turn inward. Lent, moving deeper into ourselves and our faith. Assessment time. Easter, new life, new possibilities. Pentecost, empowerment, charge, direction. Season after Pentecost, life and ministry together. What if that ordered our life? Put simply, we ponder, we encounter, we learn, we grow, we act. And then we get a chance to start over again. The goal is transformation. So we keep at it until we are transformed into the image of Christ. So Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We start again. Thanks be to God. Amen.